Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, December 11th, 2023. Hi, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So am I. I have no complaints. No complaints. I just don't like cold weather as much anymore, but I have no complaints other than that.
Really?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. I'm sure.
I've
but
got
who,
complaints.
Who wants to hear me anyway, right?
I got complaints. You got an hour?
I'll bring a legal pad and ink pen. We'll just write them all down.
Okay. And that way, next time I want to complain, I'll just say, well, check your notes.
Yeah, just check number three.
Check number three. Well, this is one of my complaints where we're going to. They hit gold again today. That means let's take a peek at the dollar. Yep, it's still 104, but hey, I guess all the world is fine. Don't very be happy. But gold is still at $1,982. Silver was down 15 cents today at $22.92. Platinum was down $922. Palladium managed to be up 16, the only metal, precious metal that was up $986. As I mentioned, the USDX today was up 0.11 at 104.09. Crude oil was up a few cents at $71.46. Paper markets today, I mean, it was a typical Monday, I guess. Not a whole lot going on. The Dow was up less than a half a percent at 36,404. The S&P was up 18 points. The NASDAQ was up 28 points. Asian markets, the Hang Seng was down almost 1%. European markets, the FTSE was down 9 points. Everything else pointed upward. 10-year yield, 4.23 in the 10-year yield. And natural gas, we're looking at down 5.5% at 2.439. So I don't know why my mic is making noises. I'm not sure if that's coming up out or if it's just my headset. But it is doing a number on my ears. I don't know if you can hear that, Butch.
I can hear a little bit of it, yes.
Can you? All right, well, try and stop it. But I don't know. I think that was pretty much it. The UAW file.
Are we still there? I can't hear Melody.
I think I am. Can you hear me?
There you go. Now I can hear you. I don't know what happened. You were going there for a second. All right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you heard UAW files unfair labor practice charges against Hyundai, Honda, and VW, alleging union busting. Boy, he is going after those guys. Regulators caught Wells Fargo and other banks in probe over mortgage pricing discrimination. But they all get is a little slap on their hands, and they get to continue to do what they do. Just ask Jamie Dimon. He's got, what, 5 felonies against J.P. Morgan?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whatsoever. So, but I think one of the most important things, and I'm not sure that you have it on your script today, is about the Panama Canal. You're beginning to see a little – we've been reporting on this, what, for 4 months?
Something like that, yes.
And they're now – Reuters came out today with Panama Canal drought to delay grain ships well into 2024.
Wow.
So bulk grain shippers hauling crops from the U.S. Gulf Coast export hub to Asia are sailing longer routes and paying higher freight costs to avoid vessel congestion and record high transit fees in the drought-hit Panama Canal. So, again – prices are going higher for those wheat. And
no doubt.
The shipping snarl through one of the world's main maritime trade routes comes at the peak season for U.S. crop exports. And the higher costs are threatening to dent demand for U.S. corn and soy suppliers that have already ceded market share to Brazil in recent years. So moving crops. Ships moving the crops have faced wait times up to 3 weeks to pass through the canal as container vessels and others that sail on a more regular schedules are scooping up the few transit slots that are available, probably cruise ships. So they're looking at these to impede grain shipments well into 2024. And their wet season only begins hopefully to recharge these reservoirs April or May. So that's how far into, if they get it, that's how far into 2024. So again, it's a big expense. It's a big delay coming to a pocketbook near you.
Absolutely. Isn't it really odd that all these things come together at one time? I mean, the food production plants being burned down and blowing up and cattle starving death and freezing death. All this happened really oddly, that the whole thing's come together worldwide all at once. That's really strange.
Absolutely. And right now, only 22 daily transits are currently allowed, down from around 35 in normal conditions. Okay, so we're at 22 from normal conditions of 35. But by February, they're expecting the transits will shrink further to 18 a day, and that's
half.
By February.
Half.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not good. That's not good.
Mm. No, the problem
I don't know,
is
that stuff was shipping overseas, so which means higher prices for people overseas, obviously, too, then.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, cruise ships, they book well in advance. Container ships, they book months in advance, so they get their free – they get through – where important things like grain and food have to wait. So anyway, pretty interesting.
Kind of scary, to tell you the truth. I mean, that's just, I don't know. I'm not going to prophesy the future, but I don't look for things to get a whole lot easier in the future, not only here, but around the world. And we'll go through some different things in a little bit, but things are heating up all the world in different situations. Doesn't seem to be any kind of peaceful solution left. Very few places you find where things are even considered normal, Melody. Very few places where things we'll call what we just said 20 years ago was normal. There's no longer there, is it?
Doesn't seem to be.
No,
it's a new norm. It's a new norm, and people are accepting it.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I agree. But, you know, and this, as far down the road as we are, what choice do we have? We can't change it. It's not going to change.
If
we fired everybody in Congress now and cleaned the House and put somebody else in, and maybe we want to run things right, how would you recover from the debt we owe without bankrupting everybody in the country and turning everybody into a poverty-stricken individual in this country? How would you do it? I mean, how would you cut it all off? Cut off all the Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security. How would you do that and go back to what it once was?
You wouldn't have to cut it off. But, I mean, if I remember correctly, even Bill Clinton, I mean, if you were on welfare, you had to work.
Well, I agree.
You know, you had to show. So these are the things that you can do, and just by doing that would drop people off the books on their own. So, have a means test. Even Social Security should have a means test. Warren Buffett shouldn't get Social Security, you know? That's an exaggeration. But
people that haven't worked shouldn't get Social Security either. Neither should illegals.
No.
But the point I'm trying to make is we're so far in debt now. Even if they cut that off, we can never pay that debt off.
It's true. We got debt too great to be paid. Exactly.
We do. Exactly. So I don't know.
But you could begin to turn
the boat around.
Things into place. Now, you can't turn it around, but, you know, maybe you would delay. You know, it certainly would give you time, but, you know, it's, I don't know. At least it would be the right thing to do.
It'd be a start.
It would be a start.
Absolutely. But it's just sad that we allowed to get in this shape to start with. And I said we. I mean, we can blame the elite if we want to, or the leaders, but the people tolerate it, so it comes back home to us. But anyway, you go ahead.
No, I think that was just, it was just one of those days. It's the same old, Oh, is the Fed going to raise rates or when is it going to cut rates, you know? Although Warren Buffett, there was a little bit article that he sold, $35 billion this year in shares. So they think that, he's preparing for the recession, taking on a lot of cash. And I don't know wills and legalities of, having that kind of money and so forth. I'm thinking maybe because Munger, maybe they're moving money around because they're coming close to the end, maybe.
Well, do you think we could survive on $35 billion? I think we can make it through. All right.
You think? You think you could?
I believe I could win. I think I could just wing it on that and barely get by, but I could do it, I do believe. I mean, these people are so far above our comprehension wealth-wise. You know, I mean, we're talking maybe thousands. They're talking billions. I mean, gee.
And that's why people that are billionaires, I don't care who they are, they cannot relate to our troubles.
No, they can't.
They can pitch it. They can pitch it, but they don't relate, and they don't have any loyalties to this country, period. I don't care who it is.
I tend to agree with that. I really do. And they just can't understand because they've never been there. They've never been there.
They can go anywhere. They call, they truly are citizens of the world. And yeah, they, there's some that, speak the speak, but I'm not quite sure they walk. Talk it.
I agree.
They don't walk it.
I agree.
And we'll never know because we're not in that same level or plane as they are. But anyway.
Well, anyway, we'll move on then because I want to share this. This is nothing financial, but I think it's very important. This come out of the Center for Disease Control, Melody. This isn't some kind of right-wing conspiracy. This come out of a paper called The Exposé. Shocking report. U.S. government data reveals a staggering, now this is out of the CDC, 143,233% surge in fatal cases linked to COVID vaccinations. Cancer begins with genetic changes interfere with the normal replication and replacement of cells in the body. Cells start to grow uncontrollably and may form a tumor. It is the number two leading cause of death in the United States. Unfortunately, it appears the disease may be on the rise thanks to the experimental COVID-19 injections. Because official U.S. government data confirms the risk of developing cancer followed by COVID-19 vaccines increased a shocking 143,233%. Now, this is from the CDC. This is not, some guy said, some kind of right-wing conspiracy. So, I don't know. If it's one-tenth that much, it's unbelievable. But that's, what can I say, folks? Some people tried to warn other
people.
How
can they tell where it comes from? How can they tell if the cancer is related to that or not?
Because what does to the cells, the jab itself, how to change the cells. And made them, made them mutate. But it's interesting and scary at the same time. It is.
It really is.
You know, I mean, and I wish people would have paid more attention and that got involved, but millions did worldwide, so we'll see. And this next article I think is interesting because my grandson and I lives in Colorado were discussing this last night. He said everybody's moving from Washington, I mean from to California to Colorado, a lot of them are. And they're bringing their ideas with them, and it's ruining Colorado. Colorado's already a blue state, so to speak, but it's getting worse. It's odd. People leave states like California to get with the together liberal mindset and then bring it with them. I just don't get that. Escape liberal hell. Oregon, Washington, Republicans flee PNW, join California conservatives in Idaho. America is witnessing a seismic shift in the demographic landscape. Recent data from Idaho reveals an unprecedented trend. People are migrating not just for jobs, schools, or lifestyle, but for political alignment. The movement is reshaping the country, according to the Seattle Times' Danny Westneat. The call to escape liberal hell, as echoed by Boise, Idaho real estate agent, is not just a catchy sales pitch, but a sign of the times. Idaho's voter database sheds light on the great political migration. Approximately 119,000 voters have moved to Idaho in recent years, with a staggering 65% registering as Republicans, a figure that overshadows the state's already GOP-leaning demographic of 58%. It's not just a trickle of discontented conservatives, it's a flood. The data also suggests that the narrative of liberals, untethered by remote work, turning red states purple and even has been upended. Instead, a Republican fever dream is materializing. According to data, among all Idaho voters who moved here out of the state, here's the data. 77,136 of them are registered Republicans. 24,906 were unaffiliated. 14,711, or 12%, were Democrats. And 1949, or 2%, were members of the Constitution Party or Libertarian Party. So we're seeing a move in the direction, I guess you could say, of freer states with the people fleeing California and other liberal states trying to get somewhere where they can live a life that's somewhat normal. So what do you think, Mildy?
I mean, I can remember when we moved to Idaho in 89, it was still very, you know, in the closed community. And I love Boise, Idaho. We moved to Boise, and I'd love... Idaho is one of my favorite states. It's just the most beautiful state. It was very hard to move in. They didn't like outsiders, but even at that point in time, there was a lot of Californians moving into Idaho, northern Idaho at that point in time. So there's been a mass leaving from these places for a while. And, you know, they end up running up the real estate. And you're right. They take with them what they leave. Go figure.
Yeah, they bring with them the ideas that they didn't particularly like where they were because it cost so much, like more public services, it costs more money, more taxation. They think they want to flee that. When they get to where they're going, they find out they have to kind of be independent, do things on their own. They don't like that, so they go back to the idea of getting more public helps. So it's really it'd be wonderful if they really meant what they said and stayed true to what they went there for. I know that, like I said, my grandson lives in Colorado. He said that California's moved into that area, and they've just about wrecked the state as far as any kind of normal conservative base to build on. And I think that shows right up to the governor, who's homosexual, and right on down through the rest of them. So it's really a sad situation. Colorado used to be a type of almost a conservative state, but it's changed boats in the last 25 years, almost completely over.
Legalized drugs, and there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's why a lot of people are moving to Colorado is for the marijuana. Well, in the beginning, now you have almost every state that gives it out, you know. But they were the first ones, I believe, or second. Oh, I hear music.
I do too.
Wow. Hey, listen to that.
Listen to that. I like that.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. It's
Let's
that
get a horse
time
and
of
go
the
for
year.
A sleigh bell ride. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go. We'll be right back.
Happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen and Blixen and all his reindeers pulling on the reins. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. So hang your stockings and say your prayers, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down.
I just love those Christmas songs, you know? Don't you, Butch?
Kind of cheery.
I know. They put a smile on your face. And that's what it's all about. Well, put a smile on your face and give Discount Gold and Silver Trading a call. Put a smile on our face, too. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com.
Okay. Butch. All right. Now, this, the folks, listen to this. I'm not making this up. I keep saying that people must think I'm not smart enough to make this stuff up. If I were, I'd be a science fiction writer. I'd be rich. Al Gore. Remember Al Gore? Warns,
how could you forget him, the inventor of the internet?
Al Gore. People having access to non-mainstream information threatens democracy. Melody, we are a threat to democracy. I hate democracy because America is not a democracy. It wasn't supposed to be. But nonetheless, we're a threat to it. We're alternative media, Melody. We're a threat to democracy. Al Gore said that people having access to information outside of mainstream media sources is a threat to democracy, and that social media algorithms ought to be banned. What do you think about that? He really said that.
It's amazing what comes out of their mouths.
It is, isn't it? Gore made the comments during an appearance at the COP28 Climate Change Hysteria Conference in Dubai. Listen carefully. He says democracy, and folks, again, democracy is a hateful form of government. That is not what we had in this country. Democracy is a hateful form of government. It always turns into a tyranny. But anyway, he said democracy is under threat because citizens are no longer all getting the same print news, I would say propaganda. Algorithms that governments can't control are threatening democracy. Gore whined that social media had disrupted the balances that used to exist that made representative democracy work much better. The former vice president said that functioning democracy relied on a shared base of knowledge that serves as a basis for reasoning together collectively, but that social media that is dominated by algorithms upsets this balance. Yeah, wants everybody to think the same, folks. That's the idea. One mindset, one thought. Yes, of course. According to Gore, people are being pulled down rabbit holes by algorithms. Now, listen to this, Melody. They're being pulled down rabbit holes by algorithms that are the digital equivalent of AR-15s. They ought to be banned. They really ought to be banned. Now, how is that for out-in-your-face statement? They do not want you to know anything but what they tell you. Follow your masters, and you'll say democracy, if you want democracy. But start thinking on your own, and you disrupt their play, their game. Gore claimed it's an abuse of the public forum, and that people were being sucked into echo chambers. If you spend too much time in echo chamber, what's weaponized is another form of AI, not artificial intelligence, artificial insanity. I'm serious, he added. Melody Seastrom, I don't know what to say about that. We are perpetrating artificial insanity. So what I'm saying right now is a alternative news source, apparently, because I'm telling what Al Gore said. So I guess even though he said it, I'm part of this artificial insanity because I reported Al Gore thinks you're crazy if you don't follow the norm. Any comments on that one?
Well, you know, the thing of it is, I mean, it isn't a threat against democracy. People who spend too much time on the internet, we look at our kids and so forth. It is bad for you.
It
is not healthy.
In that sense,
for you.
It is. Yes.
But I mean, it's certainly not if you do it in the right manner, it's certainly they're nuts. Remember, he's the guy that invented the internet. So.
Well, you know, and he's talking about people who spread information other than what the mainstream media wants you to hear. I mean, we know that social media has taken over the minds of children and adults too, not just children. And that is self because it is evil because people who don't think they go to their cell phones. And by the way, I don't think you're getting really a whole lot of alternative media on their cell phones. They get what they want them to program with, whether it be mainstream news media. Or games, or social media that keeps them entertained. Give them bread and take them to the circus, and they'll be happy all their lives. That's what cell phones have done and computers have done. He's talking about people like you and I that put out news that are facts outside what ABC says. We're a danger to democracy. So I thought that was interesting.
Very much.
Very much. Okay. We'll move on then. Now this, I'll tell you something, folks, about the electric car business. Zero electric vehicle chargers built so far, with $7.5 billion allocated by Congress. The Biden administration urged Congress in 2021 to spend, that's been 2 years, folks, almost three, to spend $7.5 billion to build tens of thousands of electric vehicle chargers across the country in the name of reducing climate change. But 2 years later, the program has yet to install a single charger. Functioning EV chargers located across the country are essential to reaching President Biden's goal of achieving half the vehicles sold in the United States to be electric by 2030. Americans consistently say that lack of charging infrastructure is one of the top reasons they won't buy an electric car. There is a lack of demand for EVs. Consumer Reports survey revealed that EVs have almost 80% more problems than gas-powered cars using traditional combustion engines. Well, they spent $7.5 billion, supposed to be, to build charging stations. Not one being built. And EVs have 80% more problems than the normal cars do. So I wonder why they're not selling, LD.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, why would people not want to buy a car that's 80% more likely to break down than the one they have? Go figure. I mean, don't you know that the car doesn't run, they definitely save the planet.
You should feel good about that. You're saving the planet, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Oh, gracious. Anyway, I mean, folks were laughing about this, but it really isn't funny. The insanity that runs this world today should fly in the face of everyone with any common sense. And I say it does. And this is probably going to be kind of a hard hit, but most people, they do not have common sense any longer.
They don't. Well, you know, this isn't funny either. And it only seems to be like for a week. It doesn't seem like it's a really long-term layoff. But remember the auto strike? Remember Stellantis?
Yes.
Jeep's parent company? Well, they gave a warning notice to the UAW, Local 12 leadership, announcing mass layoffs affecting 1,225 Jeep Assembly Complex employees beginning as soon as February 5th. It's only lasting until February 19th, so I don't know why they have their nose bent out of shape. It's only a couple of weeks, but Stellantis said 131 production operators and team members and 1,094 supplemental employees could be laid off. One UAW member and Jeep employee who wished to remain anonymous said she received an automated call notifying her of the layoff. She was unhappy with the UAW deal and knew that there was a potential for layoffs. She said, people feel like we went on strike for nothing. It's like, well, hey, welcome to the world.
Mm-hmm.
What do you expect?
Well, yeah, you're right. What do you expect? And on the other hand, Melody, we can feel good about this, I think. You know what the IRS has done with this new expansion? It's led to a 53% increase in prosecution. Prosecutions went up that much since we funded the IRS with about 84,000 new agents. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Additional staffing and post-pandemic focus on tax refund have led to the Internal Revenue Service and its U.S. Sentencing Commission prosecuting 53% more tax offenders in the past 2 years, according to a December report from Scholaroo. According to this research, in a state-by-state breakdown, those attempting fraud against the IRS in the states of Pennsylvania, watch out, Todd, Rhode Island, and Wyoming had the greatest chance of getting caught. But according to Scholaroo's research, to be in the IRS crosshairs, you must make some serious money. The IRS suggests that approximately 75% of tax fraud is committed mainly by individuals in the middle income range. Now, wait a minute. Middle income? Why would they pick a middle income? Well, let's finish here. The Scholaroo data team shared in a written statement to the Epoch Times. However, the highest incidence of invasion is observed among the wealthiest 5% with an income of at least $200,000. In this elite group, taxpayers hide more than 20% of their income from the tax authorities. Well, I'm just curious about this. I mean, people make $200,000 a year, you would think, could squeeze by, but people would make more money, spend more money. That's human nature. You make it, you spend it, because you can't imagine not having it. Maybe inflation is hurting them a little bit, too, and they're trying to watch out how they spend the money, what they claim on taxes. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying people get desperate, do desperate things. But anyway, Melody, we should feel honored that the IRS has increased prosecutions by 53%. That should make you feel proud, shouldn't it?
Absolutely. They're working hard.
They are, to keep us free.
Well,
free so they can tax us even more.
Yep.
South American gangs. Now, logistically, listen to what this is saying, because this is it's a long way to South America. To Detroit. South American gangs target dozens of mansions in Detroit. Wonder how they got here. Wonder who let them in. Violent crime is quickly spreading to suburbia. A new report shows gangs from South America have targeted main mansions in a wealthy neighborhood across the Detroit metro area. This comes as the Biden administration's disastrous open border policies have flooded the country with millions of illegal immigrants, as well as progressive cities, failed to enforce common sense law and order. WXYZ Detroit reported that at least 30 to 40 homes in upscale neighborhoods across Detroit have been targeted by highly functional and well-trained gangs from South America this fall. Thieves are using high-tech jammers to disable Wi-Fi home and security systems. They're primarily after cash, jewelry, and expensive handbags. Last week, Oakland County Sheriff Michael Brochard said thieves are part of a transnational gang operating across the country and are targeting multi-million dollar homes. Let me repeat, the transnational gangs. Organized crime worldwide. In recent months, we have shared the emerging theme of thieves across the country targeting wealthy households. This disturbing trend comes as illegal migrant encounters by the Customs and Border Protection on the southern border hit a record high. President Biden's disastrous open border has flooded the country with 9 million illegals since he took office. Also, Democrat lawmakers, some of them whom are sourced back, failed to enforce common sense law and order, transforming some metros into lawless, crime-ridden hellholes. Oh, wow. Really, really sad, but that's really what's happening. This is the organized crime now, Melody, apparently going worldwide from illegals going into countries all over Europe, all over America, and now even we're getting men in South Korea is asking for illegals migrants come in, so they can repopulate South Korea. Anyway, go ahead.
And why wouldn't they? I mean, there's no law and order anywhere. You know, you go in and you come out fairly easy. We got True. Some of the nicest cells, and you know, not that I'd want to go there. It's not nice for most people, but when you come from that type of environment, it's not bad. You get TV, food, weights, get to work out, get to hang with your buds. You know, it's just so what you got the, and you know, before you get in there, when you're on the outside, you got cryptocurrencies to spread all over the world. You can transfer funds very easily. It's very private. So another good reason to support that cryptocurrency. You betcha.
Oh, my. Well, anyway, I was just saying South Korea set to embrace mass migration to avoid extinction. South Korea may be about to embrace mass migration, with the country's justice minister claiming it faces a demographic catastrophe otherwise. Hang Dong-hoon told a paramilitary meeting in Seoul, when it comes to immigration policies, we have passed the stage of deliberating whether to implement them or not, because if we don't, we cannot escape the fate of extinction due to the demographic catastrophe. Current trends show that South Korea faces population decline similar to how the Black Death impacted Europe in the 14th century, if fertility levels don't rapidly improve. I wonder why the fertility levels are down. Is it on purpose? Or has it been done through who knows what they're eating or drinking? I mean, really, seriously, that's a good question. Why are they down?
A lot of it is cost.
The what now?
The expense.
Oh, that could be part of it too, yes. Deaths have surpassed births for more than 3 years in South Korea amid a steady decline in the country's total fertility rate. The average number of children a woman bears in her lifetime is down. The rate hit another record at low of 0.7% in the second quarter of 2023, much slower than the replacement level of 2.1%, that would keep its population stable at 51 million, stoking further alarm about the social and economic impact of such a rapidly aging population. However, Mr. Han suggested that his government would take a selective approach on limiting migrants and that the plan is not aimed at bringing in as many foreigners as possible. Interesting. Interesting. A nation that's losing population faster will bring in migrants to resupply the country with people. That's something.
Well, everybody has an aging population.
That's true.
Japan does. Japan is really bad. China's begging for their people to have babies, I don't understand, because they want to control the population. They want to decrease population, but they want to decrease the older population. They want the young people. They just want to get rid of useless eaters. So that's over what, age 50, 60? That's who they want to get rid of. Why do you think COVID was geared towards older people?
I agree.
Anyway, I hear wonderful music. We'll be right back.
When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really grab me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Oh, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Through the years we all will be together, if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough, and have yourself a merry little Christmas.
I don't know. It kind of makes me want to go home now. I want to go home now.
Sit down by a warm fire with a hot cup of cider.
Yes, yes. Yes,
I hear you.
Well, you know, we were talking about crime going into the break. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And the proportion of registered Democrats who have a firearm in their home has jumped significantly over the past couple of years. This was an NBC news poll. And, of course, the rising crime in urban, which we talk about all the time here. And there was a survey done last month. Found 41% of Democrats said they live in a household with a gun, up from 33% in a similar survey that was conducted by NBC News and Wall Street Journal back in August of 2019. So, kind of interesting. 33% of Democrats also said they live with a gun in a similar NBC survey that was conducted in March of 2004. Indicating the sharp rise has been concentrated over the past 4 years. So, kind of interesting.
It is. And, you know, it's amazing that these Democrats probably live in blue states and blue cities.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're arming themselves because they realize that the crime is out of hand. They got to arm themselves. That should tell them something. If they have any sense at all, that should tell them maybe their policies aren't working too well.
Republicans, just for comparison's sake, with 66% of registered Republicans said they live with a firearm. So 41% Democrats, 66%, yeah.
I would have been higher for Republicans. I would have thought them closer to 80%. Wow, okay. Interesting.
Oh, I'll guarantee you Republicans in cities, New York and them, they don't have them. They can't.
I'd say it's probably against all game there, so.
Yeah,
A treacherous game of battleship ensnares the U.S. at sea. This is heating up, folks. The Middle East is heating up. No matter how you look at it, it's getting worse all the time. Despite the Biden administration's best efforts to try to prevent the Israel-Hamas war from spilling over across the region, Iran-backed Houthi rebels are firing off one attack after another in the Red Sea, forcing U.S. assets to deflect them or face possible broader escalation, and U.S. officials say. Houthi rebels launched drone attacks against three civilian vessels on Sunday, prompting U.S. Kearney to respond. On Wednesday, the USS Mason shot down another attack. "We're going to do what's necessary to protect our forces," Pentagon spokesperson Brigadier General Pat Ryder told reporters this week. Behind the scenes, though, Saudi Arabia had been lobbying the White House to not escalate things, according to a new report from Reuters. Now, folks, Saudi Arabia is kind of important to the U.S. You cut off your oil supply, you'll find out why. The Biden administration may be hesitant to respond further to the Houthi attacks for fear of upsetting the current status quo of affairs in Yemen, which saw a truce between the rebels backed by Iran and Saudi-led coalition end last year. The truce has mostly been held, though, although it ended last year. So, the fire is still burning, and it's getting hotter in some areas. I don't know what's going to bring in the future. I don't know. But, folks, it's not looking like it's going to be a nice future for that area unless someone does something to intercede and do something different. Melly, any comments on that?
Yeah, man. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. All right. J.D. Vance says Ukraine will have to cede some territory. C-E-D-E, not seed as E-D, but seed. Senator J.D. Vance said Sunday that U.S. officials should accept the notion that Ukraine is likely to cede some territory in its fight against unprovoked Russian aggression. I take issue with that. That was not unprovoked by any means. Very much provoked by Ukraine and U.S., mostly by the U.S. Very much provoked. The Ohio Republican remarks come as Congress weighs more aid for Ukraine, with Democrats calling for additional assistance with few, if any, strings attached, and Republicans trying to link aid to more funding to secure the southern U.S. border. And by the way, Zelensky's coming over to address Congress personally, folks, to ask for help. What's in America's best interest is to accept Ukraine is going to have to cede some territory to the Russians, and we need to bring this war to a close, Mr. Vance, who opposed the more aid, said on CNN's State of the Union. But when I think about the great human tragedy here, hundreds of thousands of Eastern European innocent have been killed in the conflict, a thing that's in our interest and in theirs to stop the killing. I agree. I don't know. Again, U.S., I know for a fact from what I've studied, the U.S. prompted this war by urging Ukraine to join NATO and challenge Russia on her border. So, yes, hundreds of thousands have been slaughtered. Innocents have been slaughtered. But that's the price of war, folks. War's a racket. Somebody's getting rich off this war. Just like in Israel and Hamas. Somebody's making money. Anytime you hear war breaking out in the country around the world, you can almost bet that at least 90% of the time America helped instigate that war. But there's profit being made by somebody big time. Melody, what do you think?
Well, I agree. And, you know, we have Zelensky coming over, Biden's buddy. You know, the timing of everything. I mean, again, you can't ever forget how corrupt these nations are. Ours included anymore. And it's they're everywhere. Wars are everywhere.
They are. They truly are. Mm-hmm. This next article, folks, should concern us, I do believe. Alarm grows over weakened militaries and empty arsenals in Europe. Now, if this article is true, and I tend to believe it is, something to seriously consider. We, I think, being us, the West, wanted to weaken Russia and lessen her ability to defend herself. I believe they played the reverse on us. I'm not saying Russia wasn't weakened, but they're getting help from all over the world. China, Iran, other places are helping them. You reckon maybe, folks, we have beat up more than we chew this time as a nation, as a block of nations? Budget cuts and an eroded weapons industry have hollowed out armed services. Russia's invasion of Ukraine reveals risk. The British military, the leading U.S. military ally and Europe's biggest defense spender, has only about 150 deployable tanks. Let me repeat that. Britain has only 150 deployable tanks and perhaps a dozen serviceable long-range artillery pieces. Wow. So bare was the cupboard last year. That last year, the British military considered sourcing multiple rocket launchers from museums to upgrade and donate to Ukraine, an idea that was dropped. Now let that sink in a minute. France, the next biggest spender, has fewer than 90 heavy artillery pieces, equivalent to what Russia loses roughly every month on the Ukraine battlefield. Denmark has no heavy artillery, submarines, or air defense systems. Germany's army has enough ammunition for 2 days of battle. In the decades since the end of the Cold War, weakened European armies were tolerated by governments because of West, because it engaged America with its vast military muscle, underpinned the North Atlantic Treaty Organization and defense policy in Europe. The U.S. accounted for nearly 70% of NATO's defense spending last year. The U.S. bearing the brunt, 70%. But alarm has grown as America has moved toward a more isolationist stance and has the understanding of a potential threat to Europe from Russia reemerges after nearly 2 years of bloody fighting in Ukraine. Melanie, that story's kind of scary.
Certainly is.
America has been carrying the brunt, and I know people think I'm nuts, but I do believe in isolationism. I think George Washington warned this nation on his farewell address, do not get involved, entangled in foreign affairs. Well, we've done that, and it's cost us about everything in our country, including the lives of our people.
I mean, I get that perhaps. I mean, I think America being the leader, and I don't have – let me make sure I say this right. I mean, I don't mind helping other countries.
No.
However, no. We shouldn't have done it at our expense of our freedoms. But that was
And our finances.
Well, our freedom is our finances, you know. And the thing of it is, if, you know, but the people in D.C., I mean, they're the corrupt ones that took us down this, and just not this administration or the one before that, all of them. And unfortunately, they took us down this road that took our ability to, you know, continue helping in the future because it took us. You know,
the bankruptcy.
So who can you help when you're bankrupt? You just go deeper and deeper in debt, and eventually it'll get to, you know, the taxpayers of this country. It already has. They just don't know it yet. The window dressing is still there.
When a whole block of Europe can't even defend itself more than 2 days, and when it gets that bad, and they depend on the U.S., and we're stretched to nothing. I mean, we're no longer the power we were just 20 years ago. So, folks, that's scary. Anything could happen, and anything will happen. You just have to wait and see what shakes out to be in the future. Go ahead, Melody.
No, I'm done.
Okay. Pentagon holds joint exercises. Now, we mentioned this last week, but this happened since then. With Guyana, as socialist Venezuela threatens invasion. The United States Southern Command, or SOUTHCOM, conducted a joint military flight drill operation with Guyana on Thursday, the first such operation since socialist Venezuela declared it would annex most of Guyana. The joint operations with Ghana occurred less than a week after the Maduro regime had a sham referendum to annex the disputed Essequibo region, which represents about two-thirds of the current territory of Guyana. Socialist dictator Nicolas Maduro announced a list of actions on Tuesday that his regime will allegedly carry out to annex the territory, and create a new state. Still getting over cold, excuse me, folks. And create a new state for Venezuela. This exercise builds upon routine engagement and operations to enhance security partnership between the United States and Guyana and to strengthen regional cooperation, the U.S. Embassy in Georgetown announced on Thursday. In addition to this exercise, U.S. Southcom will continue to, its collaboration with the GDF in the area of disaster preparedness, aerial and maritime security, and countering the transitional criminal organizations. The U.S. will continue to commit its commitment to Guyana, trusted security partner, and promoting regional cooperation with interoperability, the statement concluded. Venezuelan Defense Minister Vladimir Padrero Lopez condemned the military exercises on Thursday, describing them as an unhappy provocation. This unhappy provocation from the United States in favor of ExxonMobil's in Guyana is another step in the wrong direction, Padrero Lopez wrote on Twitter. We warn that we will not be diverted from our future actions for the recovery of Essequibo. Make no mistake, long live Venezuela. So I guess they're determined to recapture this territory they claim is theirs. But it's odd, again, it's pretty odd that they didn't really push it until they found vast supplies of oil under the ground. Interesting, is it not, Melody?
You know, it really is. And, you know, again, now's the time to do it. If you're going to do anything, do it. Because we got Biden in office that doesn't know what day it is. And if he does know what day it is, he doesn't know what to do with it. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but, I mean, I think everybody have seen his decline. And it's sad. To me, it's sad. And these people that, you know, make him do these things. It's, I don't know. But anyway, around the world, if you're going to do anything, you got a year to do it.
You know, that's a good point. Actually, it's less than a year now. Anything could happen in the very near future. We're running out of time. So
well, the new guy can't take office until January, so.
I know. It's just amazing. We're about out of time, so I guess I'll let you take us out.
Say what?
I say what? It's all yours.
I wonder if we're going to have any Christmas music taking us out. I wonder. We'll just have to wait and see. But folks, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We have the 2024 Silver Eagles coming in. They've been available for a while, but why buy them, you know, in November and October when you have to wait for January to get them? Why tie up your funds? So now's the time. We'll start selling the 2024s now. And we usually get them in the second week of January, and we get them shipped out. So if you want those 2024s, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.